reading from 2 Kings chapter 2 and the first 14 verses. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away from you your master today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be still." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be still." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elisha took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, so they were divided here and there, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." He said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. This is one of the most dramatic portions of all of God's Word. It is when Elijah is taken up by a whirlwind to heaven, and those fiery horses and chariots appear before them to effect this great work. Many people become desperately confused between Elijah, whose name means "My God is Yah," and Elisha, whose name means "My God is Mighty. He is Shaddai." All you need to do is remember the English alphabet, and that Elijah in the dictionary will appear before Elisha, and it will help you to keep the two in proper order. But it was time, after a mighty life, it was time for Elijah, who had been to the very pinnacle and had been also to the depths of despair. James says, a man with passions who had days very much like us, the highest high and the lowest low. Elijah, after this dramatic life of besting the prophets of Baal, of besting Ahab and his wicked queen Jezebel, it was time for Elijah to go to glory. He would go by a different route, not by way of undertaker, but rather by way of upper taker. And Elisha, who had walked with him for some time, he was aware that the time was almost there. And also, we read here that there were other sons of the prophets, these lads who were in school, they were also attuned to what God was about to do. And Elijah and Elisha, they go for a walk. They go to four key areas which have mighty significance in the Old Testament scriptures. Let me recount for you these four places and where they sort of hook in our hearts and in our heads what had taken place there. Gilgal. It was that place where 12 stones had been taken up out of the Jordan River when it had previously parted under the leadership of Joshua. 12 stones had been taken from the middle of the river, and they had been brought up out and placed at Gilgal. It was a place of remembrance, the great and the mighty work that God had done, and how that He had brought His people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and that He had not simply brought them to endlessly wander around in the wilderness, but that He had brought them into the land which He had promised to do. Good lesson for each and every one of us to understand that the God who saves us is the one who is able to complete the task. Though because of our stubbornness at many points, it may take a very great time, but yet He is fervently passionate about moving that plan forward, and He is going to complete what He has set out to do. Gilgal was also that place of pain, where all those who had come out of Egypt and those who had not been circumcised along the way, they stopped there, and it was a time of decision making. Are we really going to go in God's ways and walk according to His dictates, or are we going to strike out in a path and choosing of our own? We also read that Gilgal was one of those key places where the mighty prophet Samuel would go on an annual circuit. But it was alive with memories for the people of God. Gilgal, place of remembrance, place of decision-making, place of consecration. That's where Elijah and Elisha begin this trek. But Elijah says, Elisha, you just hold on here. I'm going to go over to Bethel. That's where the Lord has sent me. And Elisha says, nothing doing. I'm sticking to you like glue. I will not leave you. And so they both go then to Bethel. Bethel, once again, how that lives in our thoughts. The name itself means house of God. It was that place where Abram had come, and it was most especially the place where Jacob, as he is fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau, he comes and setting a stone for his pillow. I've stayed in some nasty hotel rooms, but I've never had a stone for a pillow. But Jacob, as he stops there, he takes a stone for his pillow, and that night he has dreams of a ladder that reaches up to heaven, and there are angels ascending and descending to that very spot. He wakes up in the morning, all a tremble, saying, I didn't even realize it, but this is the very gate of heaven. And it's called House of God. But also, it was not only a place of rich history and a place to which Jacob would subsequently return in Genesis chapter 35 and again worship the Lord there, but it was a place in Elijah and Elisha's day of hideous wickedness. Jeroboam, who broke off the northern tribes of Israel, after King Solomon's death, Jeroboam would set up two golden calves, and one of them, for convenience sake, would be at Bethel. And he would say to the people, look, you don't need to go all the way down to Jerusalem in order to worship. For convenience sake, you're looking for a religion of convenience, aren't you? Why go all the way to Jerusalem to worship? Why don't you just stay here and worship at the golden calves that I have set up? And it was a snare, a horrible snare to the people. Bethel, Elijah and Elisha, they come to Bethel, that place where God had done mighty things before, but where there yet needed to be God's word proclaimed in that generation and a call to the people that they might return to the one true God and not to idolatry. They come to Bethel. They meet up with some of these sons of the prophets and they chat. Elijah then says, I'm going on to Jericho. That's where the Lord has sent me. Stay here, Elisha. Elisha says, nothing doing. Absolutely nothing doing. I'm sticking to you. And so they go on together to Jericho. Jericho, of course, of all the places. From our childhood, we have heard the stories of how that Joshua, how that the people for 6 days, they circled the city, and then on that seventh day, in silence, going around seven times, and then when it was time to shout and to blow the trumpets, they blew and they shouted, and it was not because of their ingenuity, spying a weak spot in the wall and said, we'll take a hammer and we'll start pecking away there. It was because God had given the battle plan and the attack plan, and those walls had come crashing down. Jericho, it speaks of a mighty deliverance. It speaks of the grace of God, how that He gives and gives and gives again and again, and that the people, they didn't lift a finger to make those walls tumble down. It was stand back and see what God will do on our behalf. I'm sure there were plenty of people who thought the plan utterly crazy and that they should depose Joshua and any who were of his ilk. Jericho, a mighty deliverance. They get there. And Elijah says, a terrible time with these names. Elijah says to Elisha, just hold tight here. I'm going to the Jordan. They go on and they have a bit of a problem, not wanting to go for a swim. Elijah, we read verse 8, takes his mantle and folds it up and he strikes the water where they were and it divided, and so they crossed over on dry ground. Elijah, he looks once again at Elisha, and he says, now, what in the world do you want before I am taken from you? Elisha, he was a bold man. He says, Elijah, I know that a mighty spirit has rested upon you. My request is that a double portion of the spirit that has rested upon you would so come upon me. And Elijah, he says, oh my goodness, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken, it shall be so. But if you avert your eyes, it shall not be. They go along, and sure enough, Elisha, he was absolutely determined. His eyes were glued upon his master. And verse 11 tells in brief account how that those fiery the chariot of fire and the horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah is suddenly gone. Elisha left by himself. We don't see the sons of the prophets at this particular point. Elisha saw it and cried out. He took hold of his own clothes and he tore them. That was an indication of a rent heart. And then he grabs that mantle that Elijah had left behind. And he goes and he stands at the Jordan. And this is what I especially want you to hear through all of this. He takes that mantle which Elijah had, and he takes it and he strikes the waters and he asks one of the greatest questions in all of the scriptures. Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. It's easy for us to become glum. It's easy for us to become downhearted and heavy-hearted. It's easy for us to think that all of the best days are behind and not to realize that God is yet working a mighty work. Here we have Elijah, prophet of fire, and the one who had great courage, the one who had stood up against the very worst of the worst in the land of Israel through some of the most dark days, king after king, all who are accounted as doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. But God was not without a witness. But suddenly Elijah, the man who by very name, my God is Yah, my God is the Lord God, he's gone. And so what are the people to do? And what is Elisha to do now in moving God's word forward and standing for truth and being salt and light in the midst of all of the corruption and all of the wickedness that is around about him? Hear this plainly. Hear this carefully. Hear this ever so clearly. We need to ask the question, but we need to hear and see that the answer is the Lord God of Elijah, the Lord God who did such wondrous works in Genesis and in Exodus and through Kings and through the Gospels and through the New Testament, through the book of the Acts, the same God who was mighty then is the same God who is mighty now. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God? He is as near as the cry of your heart. He is as near as the prayer that you utter in desperation. He is right there when you call upon him. He is not far off. Elisha would come back to the Jordan and, in like manner as his master, strike the waters. And sure enough, the way was parted and he moved forward in the path that God had for him. I would counsel you also that the path that God has for you, you continue to move forward knowing that he will clear the way and that he will walk with you, that he cares for you. Lord, how we thank you and we rejoice in what you did so long ago, but that you are the same God today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That your power is not diminished, though our world in some ways is so different. It seems so intimidating, and the messages of our world and the power structures seem so strong. They don't intimidate you. They don't even impress you. Lord, may it be for us also that as we send forth your word, as we hold fast the faith, that we would simply press on, knowing that the Lord God, who has done wonders in the past, is here present to transform lives, to take the gospel and to bury it in hearts and to bring about something that nothing else could do, life, dramatic life transformation and eternal salvation. Oh God, so work. And may we know that you are alive, mighty, mighty, a mighty God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.